His son said, "Dad, I see the fire and I see the wood, but I don't see the sacrifice." Abraham said, "The Lord will provide." I wish I had somebody here. And then he came off that mountain calling him Jehovah Jireh. You see, a good man understands who Jehovah Jireh is. A good man understands that Jehovah Jireh will provide when you need it. A good man understands that Jehovah Jireh, that whenever you need the money, when your money is funny and your change is strange, that God will be with you to help you through it all. I'm not telling you that your pockets are going to be full all the time, but what I'm telling you is that if your heart is full of love and you're full of the Holy Ghost, then God will show you a way. He said, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of men the things that God has in store for him, but it's been revealed by his Spirit." Come on and say amen. God will provide. God has good plans for us. It pleases him to give us the kingdom. But not only will God provide for the good man, but the Bible said that God will provide for his children. He said, "I have been young, and now I am old, and I've not seen."
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
As we want to continue to understand the wisdom of God, which God has given to us through his word, the Bible is the divinely written, inspired word of God, or mind of God. And we get insight into what God truly desires us to know and to be as it is according to his word. What is so important is that we have got to continue to learn how to make important or to make major in our lives what God considers major, and minor what God considers minor. We've got to continue to learn that our focus should be on what God's focus is in order for us to have the kind of successful life and be the kind of witness in the earth realm that he wants from us. One of the benefits of wisdom is the ability to use God's word to navigate through this world. Listen to me well. If we understand Proverbs 4 and 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding, then we will understand that our wisdom is akin to our God knowledge or the Word of God. If the Word of God is our revealed wisdom, then that means the more of God's Word you have, the more wisdom you have at hand. Now, the whole purpose for wisdom is that you might apply it. Apply it. Wisdom's purpose is so that you can be perfected in the things that God has for your life. Again, if you understand this, then this is another way of saying it. One of the benefits of God's wisdom is to take His word and navigate through not only this, take the T off this, and you have His world. His word will help you navigate through this world, His world. Psalm 24 and 1 says, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. This word is so important that you, my brother, my sister, need to have an intricate, intimate insight to make life everything God wants you to know and to be. Last week we talked about Matthew 7 and 7, ask, seek, knock. And one of the scripture references we referenced was 1 Kings chapter 3. And verse 10 of 1 Kings chapter 3 makes clear that it pleased the Lord. The speech of Solomon pleased the Lord that he had asked this thing. Well, the question becomes, if the speech pleased the Lord, what was in the speech? Because my concern is, I want to know what pleases the Lord. Well, one of the things Hebrews 11:6 tells me is without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So I know what doesn't please Him, but I also want to know what does please Him. And so it pleased the Lord, listen, that Solomon asked this thing in particular. So what we do is we go back in Scripture and we find out what's going on. Turn to the fifth verse, 1 Kings chapter 3. Reader, read. Verse 5.
1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee.
Go on. All right, keep verse 6.
And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day.
Okay. Now let me just say this right quick. God asks Solomon, what does he want him to do for him? One of the first things, if you will note, that Solomon does is he puts God in remembrance of his relationship with his father. He tells him that he has shown his father great mercy and has shown kindness. Now, why is that important? Because what he wants to do is establish, he understands that in order to be successful with God, you have to have relationship. Okay, so he established the relationship that God has with his father, showing him great mercy and kindness. Now, David was a great man, but David wasn't a perfect man. David was not without sin. David was not without faults. David was not without shortcomings. He's a man that shed much blood. He was a man that committed adultery. He was a man that had a man killed for his wife murdered. On and on. David was not perfect, but David was a man after God's own heart. And because he desired to have the right relationship with God, to be the man God wanted him to be, God considered all of that and had great mercy on him. And you know what mercy is for, don't you? It's for your mess ups, your mistakes. It's for the things that are done out of the will and the way of God. And so God had great mercy upon him because he knew the great love and desire of David's heart to know God. And so he brings God back into remembrance of his relationship with God and what God had done for his father. But he also brings God back into remembrance of his walk, David's walk before God. He walked before God in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart. Now that's important because what you see is David making every effort to be right. He just wanted to be right. He wanted to do right. And I don't care how holy you are, you're gonna go through a little hell here. You're gonna miss it sometime. You're gonna fall sometime. Things are not gonna be right always, but God knows your heart. And so he was making clear that David's walk was something that also pleased the Lord because his desire was to be what God wanted him to be. Verse 7.
Mm-hmm. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in.
All right, now listen to this. Now, he recognizes now, as he brings God into his understanding, that God has chosen him to sit on the throne. He acknowledges that this thing has happened because of God, the kindness that he's shown to David, his father, but it is God's choosing. Then Solomon says, that he is a little child. He knows not how to go in. Now, he's not a little child. If you look at the first few verses of the third chapter, he's taken a wife of Pharaoh's daughter and has aligned himself with an affinity with Egypt to make sure in a political move to bring his enemies into alliance with him so that they don't have to war against one another. A political strategy. He is, listen, capable of knowing some of the things that are natural to the rulership of royalty. He grew up as a prince. He was groomed to be king. So that were some things he was taught and he knew about, but he wanted more, listen, than a royal rulership. He wanted a righteous reign. Point number one, a righteous reign more than a royal rulership. So therefore, he says, I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out, to go in or to come out. What was he saying here? He was saying, I am like a little child in this respect of being righteous in my reign. I don't know how it ought to be done, so I need you to show me the way. Like a little child, I'm humbling myself before you, acknowledging that though I've been taught and trained, I want to make sure that my ways pleases you, that I do what pleases you. Verse 8.
And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude.
All right, listen. He's acknowledging, God, you have given me this major, massive assignment. In other words, to whom much is given, much is required. One of the things that we must understand, my brothers and sisters, everybody wants a whole lot of this and a whole lot of that, want to be over this and want to be over that. The more you have, the more you're accountable for. The more you're going to have to ask God to guide you in and to make the right decisions to do, because you're going to be responsible and accountable for leading folk right and for leading folk wrong. So it's always your desire to have what God wants you to have, to be what God wants you to be, to do what God wants you to do. Because when you bite off more than you can chew, listen, things don't go well with you. And so you need to understand, I don't want any more than what God wants me to have, because my anointing is paired with my assignment. If he has anointed me to be the pastor over 10 people, then 100 folk will fail me and I will fail 100 folk, because my anointing is for those 10. And yet, if I understand that, then I'll be careful in how I rule or reign or judge the people of God. Next.
Verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?
Now look at what he's telling the Lord. Give me an understanding heart. What's the purpose for the understanding heart? That he might judge who? God's people. He acknowledges, these are not my people, these are your people. I need to make sure my heart is right to judge your people, to be able to have a righteous reign that pleases you and that benefits the people of God. I've got to have the right kind of heart. But then he asked for something else. He said, and to be able to discern between good and bad. Why? Because as king, life and death, war and peace, major decisions are given to him to decide. He's got to be able to discern spirits, to know if they're good spirits, bad spirits, good people, bad people, good decision, bad decisions. He's got to be able to have the ability to see things and understand things, and that's why he wants God to give him an understanding heart, so that he might judge the people, but he also may discern good and bad. Now, that's not only necessary in Solomon's life, that's necessary in our lives. Amen. Think about how many bad judgment calls we made in our lives. Think about all of the wrong people we've connected with. How many people have hurt our lives, hindered our lives, some have even ruined part of our lives because we couldn't judge what was good and bad. They talked trash and we believed it was a treasure. Some of the old folk who knew how to judge character and good and bad told you, watch out, that's not the right one. But we say, oh, you don't know. Like I know. No, they didn't. We didn't have the ability to discern good and bad. Listen, men have the ability to discern, and those especially who have been there. One of the craziest things I've ever heard is for somebody who has missed it or who has fallen or who has been out in the world, have somebody who is not there, have not been there, tell them they can't tell them nothing because they are not perfect. Well, let me ask you a question. Who better can tell you about the world than somebody who's been in the world? You see, it's your exes that can better educate you about stuff. I don't know nothing about drugs. I don't know nothing about drinking. But folk who have been there and have been delivered can tell you about the effects and so forth. They can look at some folk and say, that boy on this, that, and the other. And you're like, how you know? Been there, done that. You know, spiritual things govern, judge spiritual things. When you're spiritual, you can judge the spiritual things. When you're not, you cannot judge spiritual things. You can only judge natural things. And so he asked God, you have to ask God for the ability to discern good and bad. You ain't got time to spend a whole life to find out if somebody's good or bad. How much time has been lost and messed up? Because you couldn't judge between what was good and what was bad. How many times have you bought a lemon? Because it shined and looked good. Not many months later, you were having issues because you couldn't judge or discern what was good and what was bad. On and on and on. That is something we need today. Verse 9 again.
Verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this by so great a people?
Now listen to this. He asked the question at the end. He said, who's able to judge this by so great a people without your help? Who can handle what you have put me over without your help? And see, God likes this kind of talk. God said, that boy is something else. If you don't believe it, read 10. Rita.
Verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord.
Hold it. And the speech. Now let me ask you something. What did God ask him? Verse 5. God said, what you want? He could have said an understanding heart. But he gave God a speech. Stay with me. He gave God a speech. He put God in remembrance of his relationship with his father. He put God in remembrance of what his father walked before God in his integrity, truth, righteousness, and uprightness of heart. He put God on notice that he realized that God in his great kindness had given him this opportunity to serve a people so great they could not be numbered. He put God on notice that he understood that without God's help, he could not be successful. He put God on notice that if he was going to be successful, he needed some help from God, and that required an understanding heart. He said, oh God, and while I'm at it, I need you to help me discern good from bad. And so when he gets through to all that, he said, oh yeah, I really do need an understanding heart, if you don't mind, sir. I didn't forget the question. I just wanted to make sure you understood where I was coming from. And the speech pleased the Lord. Listen, that Solomon had asked this thing. Verse 11.
And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment.
Listen at this. From verse 5 through 8, we have him seeking a righteous reign and not just a royal rulership. In verse 9, we have him asking for wisdom more than wealth. Point 2, wisdom more than wealth. But verse 10 through 14, we see God showing him the realities of wealth and not the reflection of wealth. The realities of wealth and not the reflection of wealth. Read verse 11 again.
Verse 11, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment.
One of the things that is interesting about this verse is God, in his state of being well pleased, speaks to Solomon about a natural and native desire. One, long life. Two, especially as a king, to be wealthy. Rich, rich, rich. To be rich, to have a rich nation, to accomplish and to make clear of their standing in the world. And thirdly, as a king, he did not ask the life of his enemies. That was usually one of the requests of kings. Because if I get rid of my enemies, then my kingdom is not threatened. If I have no other king trying to come against me, to conquer me, to overtake me and my people, then I can reign in peace. Solomon didn't ask to live long. He didn't ask for riches, and he did not ask for the life of his enemies. But what he did ask for was an understanding heart. Now, what's interesting about this phrase is that wisdom is applied here. A wise and understanding heart is what the phrase actually says. But in the text, it says an understanding heart. But here is what it means. It means a heart that hears. An understanding heart is a heart that hears. He wanted to make sure that his heart heard from God. That he had not become so consumed with his position and his power that he was wrapped up in himself and his own decisions, his own judgment, his own discernment. He wanted everything to be from and connected with God. And that pleased God, because God knew that his heart also was in the right place, because he put God first. First, he put God in the place that God put him in. God put him in a first place position, but he wanted God to know he put God in the first place position in his life and in his reign. Why is that so important? Because God wants to know that you know who he is, that he's sovereign. No matter what you have, no matter what you've been given, no matter what you've accomplished, it comes from the Lord. And you can never ever think that what you got makes you greater than what God says you are. So God is pleased at the fact that he didn't come in doing like most kings do, asking for long life, asking for riches, asking for the lives of his enemy.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard,